The anticipation is building.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And we're live.
I don't know if I can handle it.
Oh, we're live. We're live.
And being muted at the same time. It was weird.
What?
I was trying to say, hey, did they charge you extra? Never mind.
No, there was no charge. They just came and fixed it. They actually called me and said, hey, we noticed that you have a problem with your connection. Yes. And I was like, well, that's creepy.
Yeah. So well, it's because you're a big fucking deal, dude. Like, they know who you are. They're like...
The thing is...
They start running around frantically. They're like, holy shit, EK the DJ doesn't have good internet signal. We got to fix this now or he's going to come after us.
I'm what the industry calls a big fish.
it's a regional problem when EK the DJ does not have his internet set up properly.
When you call Comcast, do you talk like Cameron did from... Ferris Bueller's Day Off when he was pretending to be Sloan's dad.
Yeah. I'll tell
Pardon
you.
Me, this is EK the DJ here.
I'll have you know that my internet connection speeds are less than favorable.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Well, Mr. DJ, we noticed there's a tremendous amount of pornography that you've been viewing. Have you been going to any suspicious websites?
I've been going to all of the suspicious websites. I pay extra for that.
I run a suspicious website.
How dare you judge me, goddammit?
So yeah, they I'm what the industry calls a big fish because I pay for the top tier in all of the different categories. Like I have the top tier cable package, I have all the movie channels, I have the top tier internet package. So when my connection is slow, they're like, oh, we'll send somebody out right away. Like they do not want me downgrading at all.
Do you have the Joker sound effect?
Which one?
The
laughing?
Yes.
Do you have that? The right answer. Which one?
That needs to be ready, like, just all day, because we're... Here, I'm going to cue you up. Ready? Here we go. Okay. Tonight's episode, we're talking about the Mandela Effect. Perfect! Ah, I love it!
Stop God. Yelling, ass.
Sorry. I get excited. It's not my fault.
Your mouth is right next to the microphone. You need to learn the pull-away technique.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
I don't know, EK, you're the one with the baby, so maybe you need to learn it.
Oh, wow. Snap. It took me a second to get that. I was like, dude, I've been using microphones my entire life. Oh, right. With the
wait
baby.
A minute. Wait. I see what you did there. You son of
terrible.
A bitch.
Terrible.
You got me.
Get some of your Comcast cronies to come and attack me.
My Comcast cronies are on point. And the dude was really cool, too. He got here and he's like, so, there's a problem with your internet connection. I was like, I don't see the cameras. And he's like, what? I said, I don't see the cameras. He goes, what cameras? And I said, this is how pornos start, man.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, he's like, I heard you got a problem with your cable. Why are you taking your pants off? You'll see.
So where are the cameras? He had no idea what I was talking. And he busts out laughing when I get to the punchline. But
oh, man. So
what's
guys,
what's with the ganja music?
You, hey, listen, racist. Okay, why don't you settle down? Okay. God, not everybody who's black listens to ganja music. Jesus,
you're not black.
Neither are you, man.
Why did you even bring that into it?
The Mandela Effect.
Oh snap!
Whoa, see what I did there?
Don't make the Mandela Effect a race issue. It has
been
no-
a weird episode. I can tell it already.
We haven't even started. We're like 9 minutes into this shit.
It
we've
has
already ruined
nothing
it.
To
we've
do already- with race.
It's gonna be. Oh my god!
If you would just free Mandela,
I thought he was.
I mean, that is where it came from.
Didn't he get out of jail though?
Yeah, he did, and he was freed in the sense that he was, you know, like, you know, he's with the angels now. He's dead.
He's with the angels.
But he didn't die in the 80s, and that's the important thing.
At least that's what I remember.
Well, and we're going to talk about that at great length, guys. It is now 7:39 on the East Coast.
Our official start time.
Our official, our official.
Hey,
like,
hey, Mike! Before you get started, yeah. if I'm going to be freed with the angels and yeah. whatever, yeah. Can it be Kate Smith? Because she's my favorite.
I mean, I'm not sure.
Yeah, why not? Screw it.
Which one is Kate Smith? wow, that's an old man joke, isn't it? You were going for Charlie's Angels,
super
aren't you?
Super old man joke. Otherwise, I would have, you know, otherwise I would have gone for, you know, Lucy.
If you're gonna use an angel, can it be Betty Grable, please? Like, Jesus Christ, man! Like, I'm trying to think of some other old lady names.
But they were the original Charlie's Angels. Come on.
The only one I knew was Farrah Fawcett. God rest her soul too. She's with the angels too.
Dude, how crazy is it that Farrah Fawcett, who was incredibly attractive in the 70s?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, always. I mean,
has a daughter that is also incredibly attractive.
Genetics, bro.
It's like it's genetic. How
does that happen?
I don't know. She didn't.
Well,
and she
when
didn't.
A man loves a woman, they have a very special hug together.
See, EK, there's big bees and there's little bees. And some bees have big. Guys, it's 2017. This is our first Comics Online episode of 2017.
Oh, shit.
So that warrants a brand new intro that is going to blow your fucking minds. Are you ready for this?
No, not if it's going to blow my mind. The year just started. I can't.
I
be
like my mind.
Yet.
I gotta pace myself. Okay?
I got shit to do this year.
I can't be willy nilly just having my mind blown
right from the
get-go. I paid
get-go.
A girl earlier before the show to blow it, so I don't need that again right now for at least another half hour.
And what's funny is in Pittsburgh, the exchange rate from mind blowing is like really low. So
it's a good area for that.
Yeah, it's helping boost the economy.
You mean you got water on tap?
Yep.
You ain't even got to go to the well.
He's using the
one
internet
signal. We got
the Uber
and everything. It's a crazy time.
They have one modem that they all share.
Yep. And just dial up.
Exactly. Yeah. Every time Steve's mom picks up the phone and kicks him off the internet. Damn it, mom!
God damn it, mom!
All right, guys. Comics Online Pirate Radio starts right now.
Let's get this party started.
Are you ready? Here we go!
For everything geek pop culture, this is Comics Online, baby.
ComicsOnline.com and FXBG Pirate Radio Studios present Comics Online Pirate Radio.
Go ahead.
We are starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, broadcast started.
This is called Pirate Radio.
Tonight's episode, The Mandela Effect. The following podcast is a discussion on theoretical belief and in no way endorses or favors any religious belief or dogmatic structure. Please enjoy responsibly.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mike Lunsford, and this is Comics Online Pirate Radio. We have got an awesome show as our new digital assistant, Uncle Cameron, has said to you in his awesome British voice. Tonight's episode is about the Mandela Effect. What is the Mandela Effect, you may ask? Well, it's complicated, really. There's a lot of things going on with it, but basically it has to do... There were people who believed in the 1980s that Nelson Mandela, while in prison, died in prison. And then when he was freed in the late 90s, after apartheid was starting to be disbanded in South Africa, that... Their minds were being blown. They were like, no, how can he be being freed from prison? He was dead. He died in the 80s in prison. And it started from there, where people were saying that it had to be some sort of conspiracy or that it was some sort of divergent timeline. And there have been all sorts of other instances that people have used for this. We are going to be discussing this topic tonight in our regular geeky fashion that we always do. So there'll be lots of dick and fart jokes like we always do. But joining me tonight, I've got my cohort in Pirate Radio Crime. His name is Steve Monick.
What's up? I don't even know if this podcast is happening. That's how crazy it is.
Wow. I've got the cohort, but not only that, I've got the editor-in-chief. Not just any editor-in-chief, but the editor-in-chief of ComicsOnline.com. His name is Kevin Goswan.
Hello again, listeners.
We've also got the beautiful, the talented, the bearded EK the DJ running the board.
I am here. I have arrived.
How did you arrive, though? Okay, thank you. You've always been here. This is your house. So how did you... You got nothing?
The Mandela Effect.
Whoa. We're just going to use that all the time
I
now.
Wasn't here in another universe, but now I am.
Or it's going to be like we were doing with millennials for a while there, where we were basically like using like just ridiculous nonsense to make fun of millennials.
Right, like that thing where they wear skinny jeans underneath of baggy jeans, and then they cut slits up the sides of the baggy jeans so you can see the skinny jeans when they walk fast. Such a weird thing.
Exactly.
I'll tell you why. Goddamn Mandela Effect. That's why.
It's the goddamn millennial Mandela Effect. Tell you what, man.
They can't even remember what movies they was in.
They didn't even know that Ethan Stone, P.I., was a comic book, but then it's also a real man in California. Didn't know that, did you? Future man.
Here's the thing about the Millennium Falcon
effect.
That's
true, actually.
right?
Millennium Falcon effect.
Here's the thing about that there Millennium Falcon effect. They found a way to travel distances using units of time.
I knew as soon as you started, I knew that's where you're going with that.
The 12 parsecs thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
See,
all right.
See, I went nerdy because I knew that I was in the presence of people that would get it.
Thank you. And I'm glad that
it's
we
like
can
a joke inside a joke.
It's like the inception of jokes.
It's like a Mandela effect inside of a riddle, inside of an enigma, wrapped in a Twinkie.
Deep fried.
Deep fried and covered in bacon grease.
That sounds delicious.
I'm going to eat that right now.
Deliciously confusing.
Well, and here in Fredericksburg, you can pick
some
one of those
weird
up.
Stuff in Virginia.
You can pick those up at Admiral Cluxon's Fried Chicken.
Oh, here we go already.
The grand opening set for March of 2017. I would love nothing more than if we actually had people like emailing us. So when is Admiral Cluxon's Fried Chicken actually going to open? We heard the opening was in March and it never happened.
It was delayed.
Oh, it was delayed. Goddamn Mandela effect.
Due to a chicken penis incident.
Again, Steve?
I can't help it.
You would think that court order would have stopped you at this point. God, we're just giving all... It's just inside joke after inside joke, isn't it? That's all we're going to do tonight?
Well, why don't we jump... Apparently. Why don't we jump right into, some of the other examples of the Mandela effect?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great idea.
You've explained it because of the Nelson Mandela thing.
Yeah.
But, okay, do you remember the Oscar Mayer... The Oscar Mayer slogan.
Yeah, my baloney has a first name.
It's O-S-A-R.
H-O-M-E-R. My baloney has a second name. It's H-O-M-E-R.
Well, there are people, there are a considerable amount of people that my baloney has a second name. It's M-E-Y-E-R. There's a lot of people that remember that.
But Oscar Mayer
what
is spelled...
What do they think it is?
M-E-Y-E-R.
It's M-A...
It's M-A-Y-E-R,
correct?
It's Oscar Mayer.
Oscar Mayer, not Oscar Mayer. As in, he is the mayor of Wienertown, Oscar exactly. Mayer. Nothing?
I mean, I get it.
This is not going to be a six-hour podcast where we talk about the mayor of Wieners, Mike.
Okay.
I don't have that much time to make that many jokes.
You don't get to tell me what to do, okay?
So here's the weird thing. Like, okay, I remember Oscar Mayer with the A. I remember M-A-Y-E-R.
Okay.
What about you guys?
If you would have quizzed me before knowing we were talking about this topic, I would have guessed M-E-Y-E-R.
All right. Now, would
but
it have been
frankly,
a, would it have been a guess?
I don't. Yes, it would have been a guess.
Okay.
I would have. If you said, how do you spell Oscar Mayer? That's how I would have guessed it, because I can't spell for shit and I don't eat bologna or hot dogs all that much. So it would have been a pure guess.
All right.
Well, I wouldn't have said, oh, I know it's this.
Sure
because I'm
you
asshole.
Know.
What about you, Kevin?
Well, the man who eats wieners all the time.
Yeah. Eating and inserting, not the same thing, Kevin.
Oh.
I insert wieners all the time.
No, I'm M-A-Y-E-R.
Okay, so you remember the same way I do.
I just, like, that's the funny thing about all of this, too, is, like, my theory behind all of this, and Steve and I were talking about this via text earlier, where he was like, well, I just think that, you know, people are mistaken. And I'm like, I think people are assholes. And, like, what it is people are so convinced that their memory in general is infallible, that there's no possible way that the thing that they remember could be wrong, and that they're willing to vehemently fight and tooth and nail about ridiculous bullshit about, like, whether or not Berenstain Bears had an E in S-T-E-I-N instead of S-T-A-I-N.
See, that's like, weird, because I remember the Berenstain Bears, S-T-E-I-N. I don't remember being stained.
Well, that's the thing, though, is
but,
I don't remember it either way.
I was a
way.
Child.
Yeah, so was I.
Like, and that's a trend I'm seeing with a lot of these, is that they're childhood things, nostalgia, movies, books, whatever, that people don't fucking remember because they were a little kid, and then they just... I agree with you, Mike. It's people are being assholes when they don't cop to the fact that they're wrong.
Well, and we're big fans of the website Cracked, you and I, Steve, and...
Yes.
Cracked did this amazing article about memory in general, which, I mean, if you guys get a chance, if you go to www.cracked.com, it's the title of the article is 5 Mind-Blowing Ways Your Memory Plays Tricks on You. And it talks about how your memory is fooled by shit that never even happened, and that, like, your mood can affect your memories. And, like, the one that really, really got me, and I'm going to read it to you right now, is they were talking about... Let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. It's basically going over how what you remember may not be actually what happened. And a perfect example would be your brain is half blind. Most people seem to think of the brain as an incredibly complex machine that can do amazing things. But at least when it comes to processing visual information, your brain is actually quite lazy. Filling in what you are seeing with generic information, it figures is probably there. And what they do is there's this test they show you of guys playing basketball. And in playing basketball, they're just having a game of basketball, and the guys are going back and forth, and a gorilla walks through the middle of the game, just walks through on the court, but nobody notices until somebody points it out. So, like, they're doing a blind study, you know, no pun intended, but they're doing the study, and they're like, hey, watch this. What did you see? Oh, I saw people playing basketball. You didn't notice the gorilla? Fuck, what gorilla? They go back and they play it again, and they see the gorilla because they pointed it out. Your brain isn't thinking that there's going to be a gorilla, so you don't see it, but it was there the whole time. That doesn't necessarily mean that, like, aliens came back and, like, snipped it and put a gorilla in there to fuck with you. Like, that, it just means that you weren't paying attention. Like, it's just funny that, like, how ignorant and people have become and are just willing to accept that there's no possible way that they could be wrong. And, like, I think that stretches beyond just this Mandela effect thing. I think that, in general, people seem to be that way. Their belief structure is their belief structure, and they're unwilling to talk about it.
Well, and I agree, too, because I was thinking about this when you brought up the topic, Mike. And to me, the way I kind of see it is one thing that Americans are very, very good at is putting guilt and shame on anything but themselves. And this is not a huge example of that, but I think it's like kind of a trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
Everything else is to blame. Everything else, nothing else is your fault. You never did anything wrong. There's no accountability whatsoever for anything. It's, oh, it's the president, or, oh, it's the diagnosis I have, or, oh, it's my environment, or it's always something else that's to blame. And so when someone tells someone anymore that they're wrong,
yeah,
they'll come up with any fucking reason why they're not wrong. Everything else is wrong. It's not them. And I think it's just a symptom of a much, much bigger thing that we all are guilty of anymore.
Yeah. So you're saying
myself included.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, perfect. Another example of this one that I really liked that I thought was interesting was Chick-fil-A, the restaurant, which, I mean, you worked at Chick-fil-A, right, Steve?
Yes, I did.
Spell Chick-fil-A for me.
Well, that's all right. C-H-I-C hyphen F-I-L hyphen A.
Really?
Is that right?
No, it's the C-H-I-K hyphen.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be incorrect. Huh? Both of you would be incorrect. It's C-H-I-C-K.
Really?
Hyphen F-L,
like,
F-I-L.
How many of these did I miss?
We're just talking about Chick-fil-A now. I mean, you didn't miss anything.
I walked
the
out
whole,
during...
The whole... Wait, it's the whole chick? Like...
Yeah. The whole chick, Steve. Yeah, buddy.
It's the whole,
it's the whole chick.
I fucking worked there and I don't even remember that.
Not just the breasts, Steve.
But the funny...
The whole chick. It's a whole person, damn it.
Well, you guys...
Hey, guys. Chick's lives matter, too, okay? Hashtag chick's lives matter. Sorry, that was
hashtag
stupid.
Hashtag things Mike says to be funny.
And they failed miserably.
Hashtag nothing.
Ouch. Ouch. That was me.
That was me.
Hashtag bird.
Even,
wow.
Did you hear? Luca. Even baby Luca was like, wow, Dad.
Jeez, dude.
Damn.
That was a little much.
It was rough, man. I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive that one. No, but, like, you even said it. You were like, man, I didn't even spell it right, and I worked there. But, like, you're not like, no, I know for a fact that it was spelled. Again, like, so people are so convinced nowadays that, like, whatever it is that they believe or whatever it is that they are backing, is there's no possible way that it could be wrong. And
I've got one that I'm fairly certain I remember as the other one.
I will say this, though. You mentioned the Berenstain Bears one. I thought it was spelled S-T-E-I-N.
Yeah.
But if it's S-T-A-I-N, okay, cool. Like, but I mean, like, I went all Jewish about it, too. And I was like, well, I knew a lot of people with the last name of, you know, like, you know, Goldstein, stuff like that. So I just assumed that everything is S-T-E-I-N, you know, like, so, like, I, you know, I Jewed my way out of it. But, like, it's like, it's.
But I think you're about to say it, Mike. Like,
yeah.
Okay, if it's an E or an A, does that change the content of the book? Does that change the moral lesson that the little kid is reading about? No. Who gives a shit? Like, arguing that fucking aliens put us in some sort of multiverse, so you're right about whether it's an A or an E, just means you're an asshole.
Well, let's not get to that argument yet, though.
I think it gets so much better.
I think the important thing about this is that most of the things that are presented as evidence of the Mandela effect are innocuous. they're little tiny differences that wouldn't change the fabric of our universe. They're little minute differences.
Here, I got one. I got one.
I
for
have
you.
Another one as well.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
In the movie Empire Strikes Back,
Does
Darth Vader say, "Luke, I am your father"?
No,
he doesn't. What does he say?
He says it in a different way.
He says, "I am your father." Correct.
What's that?
The quote is this. Luke says, "You killed my father." And then Darth Vader says,
"No, I am your father."
No, yeah. I am your father.
Yeah.
Many, many people remember it as Luke, I am your father.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're kids.
I blame Tommy for it.
We're trying to make that shit up because we're fucking playing action figures.
Right.
Same thing as people not realizing that C-3PO had a fucking...
silver leg.
Lower leg.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's a great one, too. Yeah, and again, too, people filling in the gaps. You see something, you just assume, well, all of his body's gold. Why wouldn't his leg be gold as well? And you know what's funny about that is that's part of the reason why they made that big point in Force Awakens when C-3PO was like, "Oh, you're probably noticing my red arm," and everyone's like, "Fuck you, 3PO. Nobody cares what you say."
No one gives a shit.
You stupid robot. Get out of my face. No, like, it's... Yeah, it's. I don't think that it's really that people remember that, but that's just what you said. Yeah, Luca, right on, Luca. Luca's got my back on this one. And the funny thing about it is if you're a super Star Wars fan, like if you knew that wasn't the line. Like everybody who was a Star Wars fan knows for a fact that was not the line. And
I knew that was not the line.
Yeah. Like, anybody who knows their is worth their salt when it comes to Star Wars could tell you how that line went. But are we ready? Or should we give some more examples of the Mandela effect?
I have so many.
Let's give a few more examples because we have something that's going to blow your guys' mind when we come up with why all of this is happening.
Do you guys remember that HBO show about three slutty friends and their horse?
What?
That HBO show about three slutty...
three slutty girls and their horse.
Wait. I don't think that was on HBO. I think that was just on, like, Pornhub or something, dude.
Sex in the City.
Wait a minute. I don't think they have that kind of... I think you need to dive a little deeper into the parts of the internet to actually find horses. But I hear what you're saying.
He was calling... Oh, God. Hang on. I got to do the dumb guy voice. He was calling Sarah Jessica Parker a horse.
Oh, my God. EK, you just won the podcast.
Well done, sir.
Well done.
So what was the name of that show?
It's Sex and the City.
What?
Or is it Sex in the City?
And.
Why do you say it's Sex and the City?
Because that's the title of it.
Okay. I was positive it was Sex in the City.
I imagine they had sex with that horse many different locations.
She was a thoroughbred. You could take her outside the city. Yeah. I mean, there's no good tracks in
out
the city.
In stables.
You got to take her out to Westchester County, man. Come on.
I never watched the show, so obviously I didn't know for sure. But I remembered it as Sex in the City. But it is Sex and the City.
You know, let me bring up an
interesting
point.
That one's understandable, too, because a lot of people, like, when you say "and fast," you get that apostrophe "end" kind of Sex in the City. Like, you know what I mean? If you say it quick.
Well, here's the other thing,
one's forgivable.
That's the third example we've had of a letter being swapped, okay? So Berenstain Bears, right? I'm now pronouncing it like it's spelled, but I always remember Berenstain Bears because that just sounds more like what a name would sound like, doesn't it? Berenstain doesn't sound like a name. Again, you know.
Yeah.
Well, let me...
Except for the two people who wrote it, that actually is their name.
Yeah, I know.
Let me run through a couple more...
Just correcting asshole children all the time.
Dan and Jan.
Let me run through a couple more, and I'll go through them quickly.
Yeah.
And then we can start going into the theoreticals.
Oh yeah.
How does the song "We Are the Champions" by Queen end?
It ends on "We are the champions,"
not "of the world."
No, and a lot of people think that it does because earlier in the song he says that, but the last line of the song is "We are the champions," and then it's guitar riff.
Right.
Yeah. Like.
Oh, so it does happen somewhere in the song.
Yes.
Yeah.
But not at the end. The Monopoly Man does not have a monocle.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that he does.
He does not. He does have a top hat, though, right?
Right, he does have a top hat.
And a big bag of cash and a cane.
The tip of Pikachu's tail is not black.
That just makes me think of Borat, though.
Curious
George. Your suit is not black.
Curious
George.
Well,
if you watch the show, you know it's not black, because he does that iron tail thing, and it goes, swing, and it just, oh, man. Sorry, I've been watching way too much Pokemon.
He references Wayne World. It's a really weird show.
Yeah, swing.
Swing. It's a different sort of swing.
Curious George doesn't
Pikachu's
have a tail.
Although does seem rather erect at the time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
It's electric.
Boogie, woogie, woogie.
All right, EK, go ahead.
Yeah.
Curious George does not have a tail.
He's a chimp. Why would he have a fucking tail?
Some people remember him with a tail.
Well, that's the curious part.
It's curious why a chimp would have a tail.
Why so curious? Yeah, it's... Well, and I knew for a fact when people started talking about this Mandela effect thing, because one of the first stuffed animals we ever got Jax when he was a baby was a stuffed Curious George. That was something my stepdaughter's grandmother gave to us to give to Jax. So I knew, and they were like, Curious George has a tail. And I was like, no, he doesn't. We've got a stuffed animal at home that doesn't have a tail. Well, maybe your kid ripped it off. Maybe you're a stupid jerk off. How about that? Like, yeah, like it's...
You didn't consider, did you?
No, you didn't think about that one, did you? Jerk off. I'm sorry. Let me translate for you, Steve. Jag off.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Okay.
Fucking jag offs.
But here's the crazy thing. The point that I'm driving at is not one of these examples is significant.
No.
It's all little tiny things that are so minute that them being different wouldn't change the fabric of our reality.
No. It would be almost unnoticed.
It would be almost unnoticed.
Did you hear? Right, yeah.
Hey, do you remember in my reality, you know... You know, we had a presidential election, and Hillary Clinton won. It was amazing.
See, in my reality, Stone Cold Steve Austin came out, and Stone Cold stunned both of them, and then he was president.
I'm on board with that reality.
I prefer The Rock.
The Rock coming, yeah, okay. Or like the meme of John Cena coming out and do it. Yeah, the new president is John Cena. Yeah,
I'd be okay with that too.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. Any of them.
Anybody. Yeah, at this point.
Anybody from the WWE Foundation. Would be more acceptable.
Hey, you want to know what another Mandela effect is? I remember it when I was a kid being WWF. Huh? How about that? Future Man figured that one out. Apples. Yeah? Hmm? Yeah. Now it's a bunch of panda bears and shit. We think about that. Huh?
This took a weird turn.
You got something to say about that, Panda Bear Man?
So what's crazy is, like, I recognize this as collective errorism.
Yeah,
you know, it's people that have been so exposed to things secondhand that they remember them incorrectly. I never watched Sex and the City. I always heard people talking about Sex and the City, and I just assumed it was Sex in the City because I never watched it, never looked it up on my TV guide. Like it was just always Sex in the City to me.
He's very upset. He really enjoys the show, and he wishes you were
squirming like crazy. Yeah. You guys, somebody said Hillary.
Yeah,
and you know
he's a big fan.
You know that he's a huge Hillary supporter, and he still hasn't quite gotten over the election. Like right now, he's trying to rip my headphones off because he's angry at me.
Yeah.
Well, she does have those baby feeding bumps. Unlike that other. Well, maybe he's got them too.
Hey,
never mind.
Hey, easy. I don't.
Hey,
know
anyone over 65 is allowed to have.
Yeah, that's true. Bernie's probably got them.
Men,
too.
Women, all your in betweens.
Bernie would use them to feed everybody equally. So, are you ready for the theory of why this is happening and why it's all these just small, minute things that are affecting the timeline? EK,
lay it on.
I'm going to tell you guys this real quick. Okay, when I first told Eric that we were going to be doing this episode. He was staunchly against it. He was, oh, it's just a bunch of self-entitled assholes and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And then I was like, but EK, what do they have in CERN? And he was like, CERN? I was like, you know, the nuclear facility in Europe. And he's like, well, the Hadron Collider. I was like, yes. What has the Hadron Collider been doing? It's been changing the scope of physics as we understand it. They found the God particle, or the boson particle, if you will. And ever since then, all of a sudden, these things are starting to get noticed. These little... insignificant, minute things. The theory is that since the Hadron Collider has gone online, that it has caused our universe to fracture into thousands of multiverses, if you will. If you're a DC fan, you know Flashpoint and all that
thanks,
shit.
Thanks, Barry.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. God. It's all your fault, Barry Allen. But that's the theory. And when I told
him
this...
I thought we were talking about Barry Obama.
Oh, thanks, Obama. Whoa!
And
another timeline, the Flash is Obama.
Flo Obama.
Flo Obama.
Okay, so here's why I'll buy this concept, this as one of the arguments in favor of the Mandela effect. All right, so the universe is ever expanding at a rate that is incomprehensible to us. If we have created multiple universes,
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
I'm sorry. He's not happy with your unplausible logic.
He's already nixed the multiverse theory.
We have created multiple universes, over time, the differences will get bigger. The more time that passes, the more discoveries we'll make of, well, I don't remember it that way.
Wait a minute.
You follow my logic?
Wait a minute.
If the Mandela effect is a true thing,
yeah,
then the more time that passes since the creation of these multiverses, then there will become bigger, more significant differences.
If this were to be true, why would anyone in a particular universe remember any other particular universe?
Ah, so that's interesting because that you say that.
Because it's, you know, it's the idea of string theory. Everything's happening on top of everything else.
Yeah. If you've read...
I think I might be crossing theories, though.
11-22-63, the Stephen King book. It talks about string theory, where it's all about time travel. He goes back. The goal is to save President Kennedy from assassination. And there's basically, essentially, time cops, like Jean-Claude Van Damme and shit, trying to stop him from doing it because it fucks everything up. You start screwing with time, and, the universe just unmakes itself. And with every single thing that you change, it creates a divergent line. It creates another string. And they start getting jumbled. They start getting mixed. So where somebody can say, oh, hey, you know what? I remember Super Bowl 23, the Broncos won. And you're like, no. It was the Redskins. The Redskins definitely won Super Bowl 23. And they're like, no, I definitely remember the Broncos winning. That right there, that could be a divergent line. In their alternate reality, some insignificant thing happened. John Elway actually won the Super Bowl that year instead of Washington, and it's all those sorts of things. And in this article that it says physicists only have 2 to 3 years before CERN shuts down the Large Hadron Collider down for upgrades. If we haven't found anything by then, it could signal the beginning of the end. Basically, what he's saying is all these lines have converged, and that by the time that CERN shuts down the Hadron Collider in 2019, you're basically stuck. You could be stuck in a time or in a timeline, or in a universe that's completely different than the one that you were originally in. So none of the shit that you remember actually happened. And that's their theory. And that was I started reading it and I was just like, wow, this may not be true, or maybe this is true, but either way, this is an awesome story. This is such a cool idea. The whole alternate time. I love time travel stories in general. Those are some of my favorite stories, science fiction.
Oh, ones. Yeah. I'm a sucker for time travel. I love it. The only thing that's with the multiverse stuff. So the part that I have trouble with is, the intelligence aspect of it.
Yeah.
It seems okay, so are we physically being shifted? Is the universe shifting around us, theoretically? And therefore, that's why we remember stuff? Because the intelligence side of it is the stuff that always hangs me up. I can understand what you're saying about, this multiverse existing and it's splintering off. But, why would anyone remember it? Even if these strings are on top of each other, shouldn't you only be perceiving one of them at a time?
Explain déjà vu.
There is no explanation for déjà vu.
Exactly.
Whoa.
But what I'm saying is if you're going to say that there's multiverse theory and you're going to say that basically what this is positing is that Berenstain is spelled both with E and with A, depending on what version you're looking at.
Yeah.
So if it's actually physically changing in different universes, then why would intelligence be the one thing that persists through all of them versus anything else? Why would we be able to perceive multiple versions of the universe?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're the...
That's the thing. We're not perceiving multiple versions of the universe. We only think that we
but
are.
But that's what the Mandela effect is saying, is that there's a part of us that's perceiving. It's like, I remember the E, but the visual perceptive version of it when I'm looking at the internet says A.
I can find no proof that proves my memory.
Your intelligence is saying both. Yeah. It's saying memory is saying one, perception is saying an other. So you're seeing and perceiving two separate universes at the same time. And I don't understand like why multiverse theory is hell-bent on saying that
Look at it from a different perspective.
The memory
though.
And intelligence can traverse through different universes.
You got to look at it from a different perspective, though. You're seeing and remembering things differently, right? So think of it less as, do I remember it from this timeline as being different? Or if the universe is in a constant state of expansion and collapsing, and we are now suddenly, in theory, because of the Large Hadron Collider, we are now remembering other collapses where everything happens exactly the same, except for these minute details, which are insignificant.
Maybe in another line, David Bowie is still alive.
No, he'd still be dead. But maybe on his show that he did in 1978 at Madison Square Garden, instead of wearing a purple scarf, he wore a pink one.
I could see that, yeah. Okay.
It doesn't change anything.
This isn't fun. Like, I want it to change something big. I want it to be like...
Of course. That's the hope. That's the theory that this Mandela effect...
Michael Jordan was good at baseball.
The hope and the theory is that the Mandela effect actually means something significant.
In 1997, McDonald's and Burger King merged together to form a force to be reckoned with in the fast food industry.
They called it the McBurger Don.
McBurger King Don thing.
My point in this is that it doesn't mean anything. It is remnants from the string of constant flux in the universe. Like, we're all destined, everything we've done, we've already done a million times before.
So it's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Or like the reboot of Battlestar Galactica.
Whoa. And then they go back to the future and it turns out the future's the past.
I'm saying. What if
I can't say stuff like that without having that what future man voice. I can't do it.
What if that's all it really means? Is that we're now at a point in our existing timeline where we have started to notice, because of the internet, because of the collective amount of data that's available to us, you know, we're finally connected to people that have different memories than us. Or maybe they don't have different memories, but they have glimpses of things that, you know, I just don't remember it that way. I remember it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. That's what I remember.
You know what's crazy? Is for the first
time. I find
time,
it far more likely that people are idiots.
And here's my proof of that one. EK makes a really good point. He's explaining all this stuff to me, and for the first time in my life, I can actually understand those people who say that that life has only existed for like 3,000 years, and that there were no dinosaurs, and that creationism is what happened, because that's so much simpler. Like, it's just, I don't have to explain it. Everybody's like, well, science said, nope, Jesus said this. Nope, sorry, prove it. I got a book that says it right here. 2,000 years ago, Jesus is born. Whole place flooded.
I mean, that's what I believe.
Well, that's the crazy thing about it. Yeah, 2,000 years ago, there was Jesus. And then 5,000 years ago, there was Hercules. And then 10,000 years ago, there was the Sumerian equivalent of both. Like that.
And then before them all was Batman.
You know, as civilizations rise and fall, you know, the base concepts of their religious figures are always the same. And it makes you wonder, like, what if that's the way it always has been? And I mean, we have this time frame between the dinosaurs and when the meteor hit and took them all out, and then when humanity exists, it's like billions and billions and billions of years. How asinine are we as a culture to think in our 3,000 years of existence, or our 10,000 years of existence, that we understand the way that the universe works? We don't. We don't have a fucking clue.
I see your point, EK the DJ, and I raise you. We do know how the world works, and my proof would be The Matrix. All three of those movies prove that we got it all figured out. There.
Those two guys are ladies now.
Both of them?
Both of them?
Both of them.
Really?
Both of, they're now the Wachowski sisters?
Yes.
I knew one of them was, but...
I don't think sisters...
Well, at the time, they were brothers, so whatever.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't
That's
think...
That's another... There's
they,
another
would,
one.
Would they have changed the name of their company, though? Like, if it was the Wachowski Brothers Production Studios and they both went transgender, wouldn't it still be the Wachowski Brothers because that's the name of the company? Like, it's not an easy process to change your...
They're both female, but they still high-five each other, and they're like, we're both bros.
Your gender. I think they probably changed... They probably filed the paperwork.
Might as well. Why not?
It's just the Wachowskis now. That's it. There is no brother or sisters. It's just the Wachowskis.
I think they go by the Wachowski siblings.
Yeah, you know what? That's right. It's the siblings. Have they done a relevant? Have they done a relevant movie though since the Matrix trilogy?
No. Like that's the thing. Is all their movies sucked. Like that Speed Racer movie wasn't good. Jupiter Ascending sucked. Like I don't know. Like I don't know.
Hey,
the Matrix movies were great.
Hey. Channing Tatum as a werewolf dog man with makeup on was beautiful in that movie. How dare you talk about it?
Oh, I didn't say he sucked. I said the movie sucked.
EK has a thing for Channing Tatum. You guys aren't here, but there's a big poster.
I'm just saying it goes in my hierarchy of attractive men. It's Shia LaBeouf, number one.
Of course.
Shia LaBeouf, number two. Then Channing Tatum. Then Shia LaBeouf three more times.
And then, and then Harrison Ford.
Your love for Shia LaBeouf takes a Fight Club rules version of ordering. And I'm okay with it.
First, I'm looking at pictures of the Wachowskis. They are both legit women-looking women.
Women-looking women?
Yeah, it's weird. They really pulled it off well.
Wow. 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 So this has been like a very existential episode that we've done. This is very similar
not
to...
Not as much... nerd and dick jokes as you're used to.
Yeah, I know. Like this is setting the tone very differently than what we've done in the past. I went back and I was listening to a lot of our old podcasts that we did from last year, and I was listening to the one where we were talking about like essentially like death. It was like life, death, and art is what we called it. Where we talked about like was it better to burn out or fade away when it came to like celebrities and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Was that the beginning of the year? Because like a bunch of celebrities had died.
That was like it was like September, so we were kind of doing like a retrospective, and we were talking about. Like,
yeah, we thought that it might stop.
Yeah, we thought that we were done. You know, we thought that it had paced itself out. No, oh no.
No, and then 40 more died in the next month.
And you know what though? It was all our fault because we did that podcast. We caused it.
Yeah. And then, sorry, everyone.
In another timeline, we didn't do that, and everybody was still alive. So it's our fault. Sorry, folks.
So
yeah.
With,
the Wachowskis did Sense8. That's a fucking awesome show.
Really? That's them?
Yeah.
I've heard that, too. I've heard a lot of people say the same thing. That is a very good show.
Yeah, and it came back, by the way, with a Christmas special on December 23rd on Netflix, and then season two will be coming along in May.
Is that based on something?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's the sequel to Sense7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are so funny.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit. I want to kind of wrap this topic up, and then we'll go into topic number two here. And not poop, but you know, like the second topic.
Oh, then never mind. I'm leaving.
Forget this. I'm out of here. I wanted to talk about
here.
if the Mandela was effect, and it was some effect was real, and it was something that you could control. What is something that you would change? Just minute, something small, maybe something that always bugged you. A movie, a cartoon.
But it has to be something insignificant that would have no effect on society as a whole.
But just enough
something
to
really
you,
small.
Just
like,
something to make
you
feel a little
the
bit better.
The size of your unit or something like that?
Yeah, Kevin, because that's what the Mandela Effect's about.
Yes, you can draw from personal experience.
If this was another alternate universe, I would want to have a bigger dick. That's exactly what we were
I'm
pretty sure that's where you're going.
Is that where we're all going?
I would definitely remove the phrase "also too" from people's vocabularies.
Also too?
Also too?
Oh, if we're allowed to remove vocabulary, I would remove people like talking about like the name of a book or an album. The album is entitled blah, blah, blah. It's not entitled to do anything. It's the book is titled blah, 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 whatever it is.
Oh, this is unfair. I have like 90 of
these.
Oh,
that drives me nuts.
Oh, nope. Entitled does actually mean that. It's not
it
a,
does
it's a
now, title. But it didn't used to.
I'm pretty sure it did.
Mandela
effect. Boom, Mandela
effect. Mandela effect, yeah. There it is. There it is in your face. Entitled, adjective, believing oneself to be inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. There are no other definitions.
Really?
Yes.
Weird.
That's right, Ghost Juan. In your alternate San Diego universe,
you've been Mandela'd.
Where there's tacos inside of tacos and other shit like that.
Roll tacos inside a burrito. Just you wait.
Tacos in a burrito? Oh, shit.
I thought that was a taquito. I thought that's the whole point of a taquito, is that it's a taco that's wrapped like a burrito.
No, it's a taco in a burrito.
It's a two-in-one.
It's the inception of Mexico. It's like, it's crazy.
Burritaco.
Burritaco. Taco burrito. Taquito? Wait. Whoa, that's where taquito came from.
Oh, man. My God.
Bet you didn't know that, did you? Science in your face. Luca. Baby
anyway,
Luca
entitled.
Has joined me.
That's what I've removed.
Entitled. People saying irregardless.
Oh, language-wise, there's a thing that people from the Appalachian region, they say, oh, God, what is it?
Fixin'?
Oh, there's
something. Fixin' to do something? That's one of my favorites.
No, it's, they use the word whenever to mean when. Whenever I was in school. Really? How many times have you been in school?
You know what? Don't make fun of my heritage, all right? I don't appreciate that. Yeah, like, I have a laundry list of words that I just can't stand when people say, okay, here's a great one. When you're trying to tell somebody that something is very specific, but you say Pacific, like the ocean.
Wait, do people do that?
Yes!
Stupid people.
Are you kidding me?
There's a word that
I got high-pitched on that, my bad.
Really? I can't believe it!
Are you kidding me?
Doc, on the night I go back! in the place that we used to work, Steve, there was a word that we used a lot, and it's liability.
Liability.
I liked when people would say, they wouldn't say it correctly. Lucas talking on the mic. They would say reliability. So you've got $300,000 in personal reliability. I'm like, really? Just, oh, man.
Not even close. Yeah, Not even close.
Yeah, you tried. You tried real hard, but it didn't work. Yeah. But
and then afterwards, I'd go, can I have some of your money, please? You still have to ask for the sale.
Yeah.
Reliability insurance.
If you ain't going to be here on time, then you ain't getting nothing. That's what it's all about.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
So what other Jeff Foxworthy bits do you like?
hey, all right. Great jokes. Baby Luca's crawling all over the table right now. You guys can't see it, but he's being super adorable. He's looking at my computer screen, so it's all yours, buddy. Go ahead.
He thinks you're going to put on Backyardigans because that's what my mom does.
Oh, really? You want to watch Backyardigans? Okay, put on Backyardigans.
All right, hey, I found the Merriam-Webster dictionary from my universe.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it says entitle, number one, transitive verb, to give a title to, designate. And then number two is to furnish the proper grounds for seeking or claiming something.
All right, fine. You win this round, I suppose.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't think it always meant that. And then people just kept saying, like, well, the album entitled blah, blah, blah.
People with signs picketing outside Merriam-Webster's offices just demanding that entitled also means that, too.
Yeah, but there's a chance. Yeah, there's a chance Kevin's dictionary is from the 70s, though.
I'm really glad that you finished that.
Merriam-Webster.com/dictionary/entitled.
On the website.
I'm really glad that you finished that when you said there's a really good chance that Kevin's dictionary, you put the shenary on the end there. Because I was like, we can't talk about Kevin's dick anymore. There was that that whole gag order. Huh, see what I did there?
There's been a series of losses.
Yeah, there was.
What I want to talk about, okay, so we got real heavy there for a while because that's some deep shit that we talked about.
Lighten it up.
I want to talk about 2017. It's a new year because one of the things that really frustrated me about 2016, I know there were a lot of celebrity deaths. I know there were a lot of bad things that happened, but like everybody just going off on this like 2016 was the worst year that's ever happened, like ever, and it was so bad, and like they weren't referencing anything else other than the fact that a lot of celebrities died. And that really pissed me off because I can think of a year that happened 12 years ago, or I'm sorry, 16 years ago now, that was a whole hell of a lot worse. And that was 2001 when, 3,000 people got killed by terrorists? That was a pretty shitty year. It frustrates me that everybody is always looking for the negative, that everybody's always trying to outdo each other, that everybody's out trying to outmourn each other. I love Princess Leia. No, I love Princess Leia even more than you did. In fact, I was the first one to do a transgender costume of Princess Leia when I was in kindergarten. Like, nobody cares. It doesn't matter because ultimately these are celebrities and we're putting them up on this pedestal that they don't need to be on. We in America love worshiping celebrities and I have no idea why. We've made people famous for nothing. Kim Kardashian got famous because she has a giant ass and she did a sex tape. Why else is she famous?
I've done that.
I got a giant ass.
You don't have a giant ass, do you? Show me a picture of your ass.
It's right pretty now, regular size, but the rest of it I'll have.
Right now, I demand. But in general, it just really frustrates me. And 2017 for me was like a fresh – every year is a fresh start. You know, you start over again. And one of the things that I've really like been focused on is I want to be as positive as I possibly can and like try to find the good things to focus on, the good things to converse about, the good things to celebrate instead of just being such a fucking Debbie Downer all the time. And like
– When you guys were in school, did you ever get that like – where you'd be with your friend and it'd be that person and you'd be like, man, I got this test tomorrow. And they'd be like, oh yeah, well, I got 3 tests and 8 things of homework to do.
Yes.
And they always had to one up with how shitty their life was. Everyone felt like that was what they were doing with 2016. And yeah. I could not be on board more with what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
just be positive. I don't need to hear the negativity anymore.
Yeah. And
100% agree, dude.
Well, thank you, Steve. With 2017, we've already had on Comics Online. See how I'm tying all this stuff together for everything geek pop culture? There's Comics Online. We did probably one of the most inspiring interviews I've ever been a part of. We interviewed author and TV host Brad Meltzer. And that dude, it was like just like a self-help session for me and Kevin. Like, he was just like, yeah.
I'm missing my date with Brad Meltzer right now to be on the show.
Aw. You're missing your date?
I was gonna go, but Coraline is actually sick, and so I have her here with me tonight.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, so you're okay. I felt bad for a second there, but okay.
No.
But seriously, check out the Comics Online podcast feed. Go to comicsonline.com. It's right there, podcast feed. You can add yourself to it if you are not already following it. But our interview with Brad was great. He talks about his new book, I Am Jim Henson. Just incredible. I mean, the guy was just such a wealth of knowledge. But not only that, too, like, so many celebrities, when you ask them, like, not for help, but like guidance and advice, you're like, hey, I'm trying to do the thing that you're doing. They're just kind of like, oh, well, you have to know people and you have to work real hard. No, Brad, I basically said to Brad Meltzer, I was like, hey, I'm trying to be cool like you, man. What do I got to do? And he was like, send me your shit. I'll send it to my publicist. And I was like, what? like, it was just that easy. He was just like, I love helping people.
Agent, not publicist.
I'm sorry. Agent. Thank you.
Yeah. But,
yeah, like, the fact that he was willing, like, already. Like, he doesn't even know me
from
Adam.
Wait. This guy has his own personal Asian? I thought they outlawed that.
Just carrying him around on a rickshaw all the time? Just
not like, when you're that.
But don't tell anybody about it.
Play the sad trombone, you son of a bitch.
Secret Asian man.
Oh, secret Asian man.
Oh, see, in the Divergent timeline from the San Diego line, it is Secret Asian man.
Secret Asian man hailing from Japan.
Bring it to the San Diego version of life.
He's giving you a number.
It is much better.
And taking
all
your dry cleaning.
Except you people say entitled to mean the title of a book.
Hey. What
well,
you
honestly,
mean,
most
you
of
people?
Us don't, but we know that it exists as a possibility to say.
Either way, I want to talk about some wins, guys. I want to talk about what's been great about 2017 so far. Like, if you need me to start the ball rolling, I can do it.
No, I got one. If you said wins, there's a little football team that won a playoff game already.
Hey.
In 2017.
Well, especially
what football team is that?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
I've heard of them. That's the East Coast Raiders.
The East Coast Raiders.
East Coast Raiders. What?
Like their fans are just as mean as the Raiders fans are out west. That's what I hear.
No, actually,
you know our fans because they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're not.
Right,
they're
right,
not.
And they're really
that
pompous.
And awesome.
They're really pompous.
Yeah. No, that would be the New York Yankees, Kevin. They're the Raiders of the
East.
No,
out of the football. After the footballers, the footballer fans, you know, you've got on the West Coast, the people who are really into themselves. Oh, yeah, fucking Raiders. Oh, my God. Raider Nation. Oh! They're so fucking excited about themselves. It's a big fucking silver and black circle jerk all day, every day. And
now we have the turtle.
Seems,
we have the title of this episode. Yeah, the title of this episode is Big Black and Silver Circle Jerk.
Silver Black Circle Jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like the Pittsburgh fans are very into themselves as well. Like the fans are the ones doing, you know, carrying the ball.
Nah, the Steelers pretty much like earned it because they have more championships than anybody else, like more Super Bowls. So like it's the team backs it up just as much as like the Raiders don't do shit and they talk like they're the shit.
And there's
it's funny that
way. Us with the Cowboys.
And there's a lot less violence involved with Pittsburgh by nature. Like, Oakland, it seems like every year there's always like, well, somebody got shot at a game or somebody got stabbed at a game.
Most of the time, every year, that's like every week.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is just like a drunk guy fell and everybody laughed and helped him up. Like, it's like, yeah, like I've been to games in Pittsburgh and I know a lot of people who are from Pittsburgh. And by nature,
I've never been to a game there, but yeah. Like when I was in St. Louis, you know, when the Rams were still there, you know?
Yeah.
I went to a Rams Steelers game and the Steelers fans were just fucking angry and just mean to everybody, just verbally mean. They weren't like a, you know, I guess I have to, you know, make sure that I say, okay, they weren't trying to beat anyone up.
Kevin,
we need to expose you to the Philadelphia fans.
I can put it is like, have you ever had that friend where you're friends with them and they are loyal as fuck to you and like they will like murder anyone for you, they'll do anything that you say, and from the outside of that friendship they look like a raving lunatic, but inside that relationship you're like, man, this guy would do anything for me, like he's my best friend. That's kind of what being a Steeler fan is like. Like from the outside it looks like you're a fucking madman and like you're rooting for people that are just like these blue collar murder machines. But, like, from inside, it makes complete sense. And you're like, this guy's got my back.
Yeah.
Is that, like, maybe a regional thing as well? Because I noticed that I know a couple from work. I know a couple of people who are, Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Oh, those are the worst.
And they seem very, very into it as well. Like, just frighteningly so. When people, you know, just when you get to the point in sports where I'm going to beat somebody up over talking shit, then I'm like, you've gone too far.
No, that nobody gets that far. I mean, unless there's like, I mean, there's people who get violently drunk at games, and then it's not about the sport. It's about the fact that they are a violent person and are drunk and are at a place where other people are they can fight with. Just like any drunk you've ever met at a bar. You know, it's an excuse to be drunk and fighting someone. There's those people at every single sporting event for every type of sport, for every type of team. But, yeah, there's some cities that just seem to attract that kind of person. And I get the feeling like Oakland's like that. And what was that baseball game, Mike, where, like, fans – was it the Giants-Dodgers or something? Like, what was that game where they beat that fan and, like, crushed his skull in?
Giants-Dodgers, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, some rivalries get too far, but
– yeah.
Most of the time, yeah, every place where you gather tens of thousands of people, there's going to be some drunk assholes there. Yeah.
And to the point, though, with Philadelphia, let's also be reminded that Philadelphia's combination baseball/football stadium that used to be there called Veterans Stadium had its own jail and judge on site for every single sporting event.
Because it was a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yes, it was Mos Eisley Cantina. Yes, exactly. Philly, I think of all the fans, like, and we've talked about this before, like on the old GGR podcast. We talked about like Philadelphia fans are just like vile in general, but at the same time too, Philly's very similar to Pittsburgh in the sense that they're very loyal. That like they're the kind of person that'll talk shit, they'll punch you in the gut and like make fun of you when you puke everywhere, but then they're also the person that helps you up and then helps you move your couch when you're moving apartments. New Yorkers, on the other hand, like your New York Giants and New York Jets fans, will be the type of person who's very classy, and they're like, "Oh yeah, oh of course, oh we'll help you with this," and then they're too good. They're gone. You can't find them anywhere. And
when shit goes bad, they're gone.
Exactly. Yeah. Boston fans are similar in that aspect. Like your Red Sox and your Patriots fans are kind of like that to a certain degree. But I mean, they've also had so much success now that you can't even like chip away at any of their veneer. Like as soon as you start a conversation, you're like, "Oh, the best team." They're always like, "Patriots, Red Sox." Like, there's no, you can't talk to them. Like, no, too many championships.
They just show their hand,
yeah,
and the bling blinds you, and you can't even talk to them.
Exactly.
Anymore.
They're like, "City of Champions, wicked awesome." Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
And, beans.
Yeah, beans. Other thing, lobster. Wicked ass and pizza, park your car. I don't know. What else? Like,
anyway.
Cold weather.
But yeah, no. Wait, back to where all of this started. I agree, Mike. 2017 started off great. We beat the Dolphins, so that's my positive for 2017 thus far.
Wait, in this universe, do we play against Dolphins?
The Steelers did, yes.
Wow. That's why they won.
I don't know who the Chargers played against. They were probably playing some kind of pickup basketball game.
They're packing all their stuff and getting ready to leave San Diego is what they're doing.
Can I just say, fuck Spanos. Fuck the whole Spanos fam.
Fuck everything.
Everything is horrible. But that was 2016, Kevin. 2017 is a new year. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
I hope. Yeah, like just in general though, like I mean, we're going back to kind of what we talked about at the end of 2016, there were so many great things that happened this last year that are going into this year. I mean, we're working on all these podcasts. We've got all sorts of cool things coming up for Comics Online. We're going to have another interview with Susan Eisenberg, which we got to set up, who's the voice of Wonder Woman, which by the way, plug. You can hear on Comics Online's podcast, my interview with Susan Eisenberg. Who else do we have coming up, Kevin?
Oh, gosh. We've got a lot of people coming up. I'm just going to say and more at this point because I don't have anybody for sure nailed down. But, you know, think about all of the people that we've had on the podcast already over the years. Let's just assume that we will probably get most of them back again, including Brad Meltzer. He's going to come back and talk comic books.
I'm excited about that. Yeah.
And then we've got a few more that we've never had, and some of which we've teased already on the show.
Yep. I know that just in general, like there's so much cool stuff that's going to be happening this year that I'm super stoked about. Like it's
like Star Wars Episode 8.
Yes, I'm super excited about that. I can't wait for that one.
This year?
Yeah, that's later this
December 15th.
December, yeah. It's just such a cool time right now because there's so many good things coming out. Daredevil season 3, or is it Punisher that we're going to get next this year?
Iron Fist and
Iron Fist.
I think the Defenders, right?
Yes. Yeah, Iron Fist and the Defenders, we're going to get that. I'm pretty sure that they're going to be working on Stranger Things 2.
Yep.
We're also nice. Going to see Super Troopers 2 this year.
I'm interested to see how that turns out.
Yeah, it's probably going to be...
I'm cautiously optimistic.
It'll be a train wreck, but it'll be enjoyable.
Not Starship Troopers, too.
No.
That's already coming.
No, because that was direct-to-DVD, yeah. Rico's Roughnecks, or whatever it was called. I can't remember what it was called. It was bad, though. It was real bad.
Very good.
Look that up.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much covered everything, guys. I mean, like, unless we just want to keep shooting the shit, which we don't need to do, because that would just be pointless.
Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, in fact,
what do you mean? Come on, this is Pirate Radio. We talk about whatever. See, I even talked sports with you today, Mike.
I was impressed.
I was extremely impressed with that.
It reminded me of like those videos you see of like a dog like dressed as a person walking around. Like it's impressive, but you know that the dog's not comfortable. Like that was you. Like you were doing really, really good. I was like, damn, that's impressive. He can't be enjoying this.
Like, Mike, it was Starship Troopers 2, Hero of the Federation, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Google, for looking that up.
Get your shit together.
Get your shit together.
I mean, at least that's what this version of Google says it is.
Whoa. But San Diego Divergent Google says something different.
It says it's Starship Troopers 2, Divergent Part 2, Allegiance.
And I'm actually looking at Google right now, and it says Starship Troopers 2 Electric Boogaloo is what it says. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Requisite nerd joke.
Turns out that we end up fighting the bugs in a dance-off to save the rec center from demolition. Ooh. So.
Oh, and speaking of dance-off, that's what I'm looking forward to movie-wise most this year is motherfucking Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I'm calling it right now. That's going to be my favorite movie of 2017.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy was so good. And just really so was. Amazingly rewatchable.
Yeah, I'm starting to... It's not that I'm getting less excited about the movies that are coming out for like the comic book stuff, but just in general, like I feel like there was this great wave, but now we've jumped the shark, so to speak. Like you're not going to get as good of stuff as we saw before. Guardians could change that completely. Justice League could change that too. But I'm also really excited about Wonder Woman. And it sounds very like, oh, he's trying to be PC and glib. No, I'm really excited that we're going to have something different. That we're going to have a female lead superhero movie that is the biggest superhero female of all time. Like
Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman! Yeah.
You're right. That's the only way this whole superhero thing doesn't come crashing down is if they keep it fresh. And Wonder Woman is something that we have not seen yet.
Yeah. The only thing I'm afraid of, too, is so far from the vibe that I've gotten, is that it seems like it might be very similar to Captain America in the sense that they go, like, retro and do...
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be good. I mean, if you want to listen to the Susan Eisenberg interview, she is pretty excited about it, too. So, I mean, if the voice of Wonder Woman is excited about it, then, I mean, who are we to argue?
True.
Yeah.
I won't.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to get beat up.
By Susan Eisenberg or by Wonder Woman? Or both? I mean,
all of the above.
I mean, she does seem feisty. It's entirely possible. So, either way, ladies and gentlemen, I think that is going to do it for this evening's podcast. I think we've got... I mean, you know what? Let's do this, Steve. Who are your Pittsburgh Steelers playing next in that daggone Super Bowl tournament that they're doing?
Oh, so we're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs Sunday, 1 o'clock in Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium.
Be there, be square.
We beat them earlier this year. I think it was like, if I'm remembering off the top of my head, we beat them 42-14, I want to say. Something like that.
Okay.
So I think I like our chances.
So you're predicting a Steelers win. Okay. We've got the other game in the AFC that we've got is the the Texans going to New England to battle the Patriots. I just don't see Houston hanging it at all.
Nope.
I don't think it can
happen.
Yeah, I mean they're done. It's going to be a New England Pittsburgh AFC Championship, which is like the fourth time that they've done that.
Yes.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting AFC Championship for sure. On the NFC side, we've got the Atlanta Falcons hosting the Seattle Seahawks. You know, I'm torn on this one. Like, I feel like Atlanta does the same thing every year. Or not every year, but like every couple of years, they put together a really impressive regular season record. They go into the playoffs, and then they get trounced in the playoffs. And they just show that they shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Oh, yeah. It's late at night. There's a soft, warm bed all ready for it, and they just pull out their pants and shit in it.
I like the imagery you used there, Steve. That was wonderful. My gut's saying Seattle. I don't see Atlanta winning this game. I feel like Seattle's just too experienced. And
give me Atlanta.
You're going to take Atlanta.
I like Julio Jones. Ooh, Julio.
Okay, very well. The other NFC game we've got is the Green Bay Packers, and just the worst football team ever.
Yeah, that's the answer, Kevin, you were looking for earlier. Yeah. Is the worst team and fans, Dallas.
Yeah,
there
you want to talk about the worst fans ever. It's definitely the Dallas Cowboys and their fans.
That's like, something Redskins and Steeler fans can agree on.
Really? Yeah, like I thought that they were kind of good.
No, they're just they're obnoxious.
I used to live out there. They didn't seem too mean or anything.
Well, it's not that they're mean. They're just they're obnoxious and they're self-entitled. They're like people who believe in the Mandela effect. They feel that they're entitled to things that they shouldn't be entitled to. But not only that, one of the things that is most cherished by me is loyalty. Like, you are loyal to the things that you grew up with. And so many Cowboys fans are bandwagon hoppers. They decided mid-90s when the Cowboys were good and winning Super Bowls, hey, this is going to be my football team. I'm going to start rooting for them. Instead of following, I don't know, the loyalties and allegiances of your family, of your region. Nah, screw that. I like the team with the star on their helmet. I'm going to root for them. And there are so many people out there that are like that. And it's just, it's obnoxious. Oh, you're a Cowboys fan? Oh, yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan. Where are you from? Well, I'm from Virginia. From Virginia, huh? Okay, so why are you a Cowboys fan? Cowboys? That's great. Yeah, I like that logic. That's wonderful. Like, with me, I'm a Washington fan because my dad was a Washington fan, because my grandfather was a Washington fan, because my grandfather was a police officer when the team first came to D.C. Like, he knew the players. Like, that's a tie that you don't get from just picking up some team. It's like, man, they sure do got Purdy helmets. I'm going to lock them. Like, what happened to loyalty, man?
My team... You know, the San Diego Chargers, or the once and hopefully future San Diego Chargers, they played at my high school stadium when they first came to San Diego, because originally they were from Los Angeles. I mean, this is before, you know, pre-NFL, of course.
This was like early 70s, is that right?
No, 61 or 62, I don't remember which. And then they came to San Diego and played at Balboa Stadium. Well, Balboa Stadium is the football stadium, is the stadium for my high school, San Diego High School.
So yeah, I mean, right there, your loyalty that to that team is not just, again, you know, hey, pretty uniforms. Like you have a they were a local thing, and that was
no. The prettiest uniforms is Seattle.
The prettiest
fucking
uniforms.
Fucking pretty.
They're pretty.
I gotta give them a clap. Good job, Seattle.
they win best in show every year.
They do.
Well done, Seattle. Either way though, like I feel like that's something that all of the Pittsburgh folk have in common. Is there is an undying loyalty to that team because it's their region, it's their team, it's their that team is that area. Like that I've never seen any other thing like that where a team embodies the spirit of that blue collar, hardworking mantra like that. It's kind of cool, really. But yeah, I mean, Steve, you're a fan because you're from that area, because your family is fans of the team. Like, I remember you telling me that, like, your mom is a huge fan, and then, like, her dad was a huge fan, too. It gets passed down instead of just all of a sudden, like, this team's good, I'm gonna like them.
Oh, yeah, dude. I've played catch with Lynn Swann as a little kid. Like, I mean, literally, since I've been able to understand what football is,
yeah,
I've been watching and enjoying this team. So it's yeah, like you said, it's fun to get into it. Just the way I see people debating over like Marvel and DC, and it's probably like, well, whichever comic book you randomly picked up when you were a little kid because you liked the colors and the shapes and you stayed loyal to that one. Like, I don't have a problem arguing Marvel or DC, which is better.
Yep.
I personally am of the volition, hey, there's enough to go around, you can like them both. But, yep, you know, loyalty is great, and I think people should have more of it than we do.
So let's we dovetailed there for a minute. Let's pull ourselves out of the rabbit hole. What are you calling the Super Bowl, Steve? Who's playing in the Super Bowl?
Oh boy! As much as I hate to say it, Green Bay and New England.
I was actually going to say the same thing. I was going to say Packers and Patriots. And I'm picking Patriots.
Yeah, I would love if it was us, but I don't know. New England just seems too tough.
I think you guys are the only ones that could potentially beat them. I don't see. I really just don't see Kansas City taking them on. I mean, they could. They did it. They played them last year in the playoffs, and it was a lot closer than I thought. But this is a different Patriots team. They have a deeper offense because, like, Gronkowski.
Oh, they're healthy.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
All healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're getting Gronk. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to give a little errata. Kate Smith is not at Charlie's Angels. I slammed two of them together. Kate Smith is some radio star from the 40s. I was thinking of Kate Jackson and Jacqueline Smith, apparently.
Yeah, from the 40s.
You were just making your perfect Charlie's Angel. You were just taking the best parts of both
Thank
of
you.
Them, melding them together. No,
and that's my Mandela Effect character there.
There
yeah,
it is.
I play that game before I go to bed every night.
Oh, man, if you could take this Charlie's Angel and then this Steelers cheerleader.
No, we do not have cheerleaders, and we never will.
Well, okay, that Steelers junk fan in the front flashing her boobs at Hines
like
Ward.
That mom of three that's drunk as hell.
It just flashed Hines Ward. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, guys, that's going to wrap it up for this evening. My name is Mike Lunsford. For Steve Monick, for Kevin Goswan, for EK the DJ, for Baby Luca, this has been Comics Online, Pirate Radio.
This has been a Comics Online Pirate Radio Network production, Juice Bags. Yeah, boy.